Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Indeed, and a warm welcome to you all this morning. Welcome to Scots, especially if you're new with us today. It's delightful to have you with us. If you're a regular, you'll notice Pastor Lether is on leave this week, and we wish her well on her holiday. Apologies to those who came in through the car park. The lift wasn't working. All sorts of things don't seem to be working this morning, but we're going to have a great time of praise, worship and fellowship together, regardless of all the technicalities. Now, please remember that our famous monthly sausage sizzle resumes this Wednesday, the 19th, from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. It's free, and there'll be live music and a coffee cart. And it's one way we're showing our love to the city as the city comes back to life. So please come and join us if you can, especially if you're working in the city and can bring some colleagues along. We'd love to have you do that. Now, this is formal advice that our congregational meeting will be held after the service next Sunday, May 23rd, for the purpose of electing a new member to the Trust, and all members of Scots are entitled to vote. If you're not a member of Scots and you'd like to stay around and watch, you're very welcome to do that. Now, here at Scots, we're committed to the safety of all who attend. We work very hard on our child safety protocols and also on our COVID safety protocols. With that in mind, I've been asked to mention when you check in with the QR code each week, could you please hold up your screen with the green tick so the attendant can see it easily on your way in. On the matter of safe church training for our Sunday school teachers, managers and elders who haven't been through the training will be held here at Scots on Saturday, June 5th from 9:30 a.m. And there'll be details coming soon in the newsletter. Just one final little detail. We're going to be singing a hymn of rejoicing in a moment, but to help us rejoice, can I point out there's just a small typo in your lyric sheets. We need to replace in the second verse the word here with the word heart, just an extra little T. That rhymes with part, and keep that in mind. As we sing, let all the world in every corner sing. Please be seated and please join me in prayer. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Father, that's why we call on all the world to join in singing your praises together. That is why we seek to honour your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, not only with our words, but in our daily lives. That's why we raise not just our voices, but our hearts to you in song and join in proclaiming the gospel news to our world. Father, would you forgive us for those times we fail to follow the example of our Lord Jesus and fail to put others before ourselves, that in our selfishness we bring about division rather than unity, resentment rather than grace, and in so doing fail in our witness to the world. Forgive us for the times we have preferred to be right rather than to be godly, bringing our Lord Jesus into disrepute by our words, our attitudes and our actions. Speak to us through your word today, we pray, that we might be transformed by the work of your Spirit, convicting our hearts. Humble us so that we might better glorify you. We ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Blessing, honour and glory and power. We're going to sing that hymn now. Please join in heartily.
Thank you. First scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, Philippians 2, verses 12 to 18. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. The second reading from the New Testament is a continuation of Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, but you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you if Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, that I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him to the Lord with great joy, and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. May God add his blessings to all who hear his word. Amen.
We're going to come to God and pray. Join with me as I pray. Our Father in heaven, you are our Creator God. You've made us and you continue to sustain us. And for this, we thank and praise you. Father, our world is no longer as you intended it to be. You created a world consisted with your being, and we continue to fall short of what you hoped for us and what you want for us. Thanks that by your Spirit at work in us, we can seek to keep in step with your Spirit and become the people you want us to be, a holy and blameless people, becoming more and more like Jesus. We pray your Spirit would continue to work in our own lives and move in the hearts of those who don't yet know you. We pray your Spirit would particularly be showing and declaring your healing power, peace, and hope in our world today. We pray for the parts of our world today that are struggling and suffering from the brokenness that comes from a world that is far from you and how you intend it to be. We pray for you to intervene yet again in the Middle East. We cry with you over the destruction in Jerusalem this week. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. Whatever side they're on, whether Israeli or Palestinian, we pray they would turn to you, the God of all comfort, and that they would find their true peace and salvation in Jesus. We pray for Christians in the Middle East, that they would reach out to bring comfort to both Jews and Palestinians, and that they would speak words of comfort and hope that only can come from Jesus. We pray for those who have been displaced in this current unrest. Please help them find shelter and safety. We pray for those who are trying to broker peace, that you would guide their plans and bring acceptance from all sides to move forward in this historically restless area. Father, again we pray as the God who is able to heal and mend brokenness. Please bring an end to the rampant COVID situation in India and potentially now in Pakistan and Nepal. As Ramadan has finished and potential ignoring of lockdowns happens, we pray you'd help each of these governments to manage the spread of COVID. Again, we pray for mercy for these countries, for provision of equipment and vaccines, and for the people needed to care for those in need. We ask again for the Bible College in India, where so many students and staff were affected, that you would bring healing and that your people would keep being able to share the good news of Jesus with those who don't know you. Protect your people, we pray, and help them to shine out like stars as they care for those around them. Nearer to home, we continue to ask for wisdom for our own federal and state governments as they lead our country. We pray for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. Please guide him by your Spirit to lead well and to live a life consistent with his faith in Jesus. We pray our governments will keep seeking to serve those in need, the refugees, the disabled, the poor, and the vulnerable. Help us all to have a heart for those you came to save. Father, lastly, in our own church, we pray for those who are in need of your comfort and support. We pray for Helen Baston and her family as they grieve the death of Brian. Thank you for his funeral on Friday, which was so clear in declaring his faith and hope in you. Please help Helen and her family to hold on to the hope of Jesus in the days ahead as they grieve. We pray also for Carol Harlock and Alan Nolan in hospital. Please bring strength, hope, and healing to them and refresh their souls through your word at this time. We pray you'll continue to strengthen each one of us to care for those around us, to grow in the holiness and purity as we serve each other, as we pray for those we know who need to know Jesus, and as we care for them as he modeled to us. And we pray all of these things, thankful that you hear and answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Louise. It's time to sing again, Come My Way, My Truth, My Life.
My way.
Would you turn in your service booklet to the Bible passages that Bruce has read for us earlier? And let's take a moment to pray before we consider God's word together. Heavenly Father, you have given us your word. It's a word that leads us to our Lord Jesus, that reveals him to our hearts, that calls us to trust him and live for him. And so our prayer today is that you would speak to us indeed. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you noticed these days everything seems to get a star rating? Now, I blame it on Google. We had Mother's Day lunch last week at the Hung Vuong restaurant. We didn't know it at the time, but it actually gets 4.3 out of 5 stars based on 667 Google reviews, which means, of course, it was delicious. My last Uber driver was Din. Din drives a Nissan Pulsar. I rated Din 5 stars. It was a very smooth trip. These days you can search for the star rating of your builder before you start renovations, or the star rating of your doctor before you sign up for cosmetic surgery. Everyone gets stars and everyone wants to be a star. Now, it might sound a little bit corny, but we're going to see this morning that the Apostle Paul wants the Christians he's writing to in Philippi to be star quality Christians, by which he means he wants them to stand out luminous against the dark backdrop of their history and their world. We're in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and you'll see those words. Now, first, as we saw last week, if you were here, it is so easy, isn't it, to put yourself first. From our very first day at preschool, we're told it's good to be at the front of the line, that it's good to be first in the test, that you've got to strive for the blue ribbon in the race. And so it comes naturally for some of us to compete in ways that go on to cause division. It's easy to grumble, to argue and complain when we don't get what we want, when we don't get to be first. So here in that context is how we shine. This is our key verse, the phrase at the end of verse 15, but taking the whole sentence from verse 14. Paul says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Star quality Christians, shining quite simply with the outstanding feature of not grumbling, not being argumentative. Shining as Christians, get this, because of the way we get on with one another. Now, doesn't sound much, does it? Although I almost hear you ticking it over in your minds right now, all the exception clauses, and you're saying, But of course, sometimes you've just got to stand your ground because the other person's got things so wrong. Or there's so much money at stake. Or my brother won't share the inheritance. You ever seen that little cartoon? It's late at night. The guy is typing furiously on his computer keyboard and his wife's saying, "It's time to come to bed." And he says, "How could I possibly come to bed? Somebody said something wrong on the internet." And so he'll stay up till the small hours, correcting everyone he disagrees with on Facebook or Twitter or whatever else. Which is, let me tell you, a very big job if you get started. So hard, isn't it, to leave some things unchallenged? Especially when you know for sure that you're right. To let someone else be wrong and still have their say. Of course, I'm saying that with a trace of irony too, because in every argument you do realise that both sides are equally 100% sure that they're right. If you've read Philippians before, you'll know that coming up in chapter 4, Paul is going to name some names, two women who used to be his colleagues Now they're at odds. We'll see when we get there in a couple of weeks' time. He doesn't say Euodia's right and Syntyche's wrong. He just says, stop it, both of you. Put down your weapons. Stop grumbling and arguing, whatever it is. Which, the back of Paul's mind, you see, would make the church in Philippi very different to the Israelites in the wilderness, who were the original warped and crooked generation he's cross-referencing there. He's saying, I think, never forget, we are the church. We are meant to be very different to the Old Testament people of Israel, who were constantly grumbling, who were always complaining, even as they were being led out of their slavery by Moses. Paul says, stop it, so that you'll be shining like stars as you hold firmly to the word of life, the gospel of Jesus. Have you noticed so often our public strategy as Christians seems to be to tell everyone else in the world how to live without making any attempt at showing them? Paul says, yes, do keep holding on to the word of life. Keep on partnering me in proclaiming Jesus, but make sure at the same time you are shining like gospel stars. Back it up. Specifically, as we saw last week, if you were here, by imitating the humility of Jesus and that great parabolic arc that he carved out from being in very nature God to making himself a servant, even to death on a cross. And as a result, exalted by God to the highest place. Always, back in verse 4 that we saw last week, looking not to his own interests, but always to the interests of others. When you do that, says Paul in verse 17, then I rejoice. No matter what happens to me, no matter how I'm being poured out, then I rejoice. So Jesus is our model. Jesus is the reason we don't grumble or complain. Now, if you're saying, well, that was him, he was good at that sort of thing, he was the Son of God, it's harder for me because I've suffered so much injustice. It's harder for me because I've been part of such a marginalized subset. I'm a victim. It's my job to complain. If you're saying that, Paul is not unsympathetic. But he says, before you give up on the goal of living like Jesus because it's unrealistic, I want you to have a look at a couple of examples closer to home who you already know personally. A couple of men I'm rating as five-star Christians because they're doing exactly what I'm talking about, putting the interests of others ahead of themselves. So let's meet Timothy, Paul's first missionary apprentice. Young trainee doctors, I gather the training model is watch one, do one, teach one. Well, Paul's like that with Timothy. And Timothy has caught on. Paul has met him in Galatia. Now they've been together for a while, and Paul is going to send Timothy to visit the Philippians in person. In a sense, this letter from Paul is going on first as an introduction and a commendation. But the point is, in verse 19, do you see that Timothy is a model of exactly what Paul's been talking about, putting others first. You're following in the booklet, the first sentence in the second reading, he says, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone. Now look at this bit carefully, and in a minute, think back to verse 4. But he says, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Now again, can you see the pattern back in verse 4? Don't just look to your own interests, be like Jesus. And because of that, look to the interests of others. Now, at last, here is someone who's showing them how to do that. This This Timothy is actually genuinely concerned for your welfare and not just his own. 5 stars in the midst of everyone else, only looking out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So watch and learn. He's coming to visit. Watch him. Watch how he puts your interests before his own for the sake of the interests of Christ. Verse 22, you already know, don't you, that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Which means, you see, he's both thoroughly committed to promoting Jesus and he's thoroughly committed to serving them. Paul says, if you want unity, learn from what Timothy is doing for you. Now, I wonder if you're someone who's been a Christian for a while, if you've been part of the church scene for a while. Have you actually met anyone like that? A Timothy? Because I suspect if you have, they've had a very powerful influence on you. I suspect many of us who have come to faith through the years, there has been someone exactly like that who's modeled Jesus for. The real question is, are you going to be that person for someone else? Now, not convinced? Well, here's another one. Paul says to them, what about Epaphroditus? One of the unsung heroes, I think, of the New Testament. If you keep an eye out, his name pops up in Colossians and Philemon as well. Now, it's odd, isn't it? These days there are plenty of Tims. Timothy's name has been passed down the generations in his honour. Not many Epis or Paphis, the name is a bit of a mouthful. But it turns out Epaphroditus is another star quality example of someone who counts others as more important than himself. Verse 25, Paul says, I'm sending him back to you too. He's the man that the Philippians have first sent to Paul in prison to help him. And you'll see there the story is when he got there, disaster strikes. Epaphroditus got so sick that he almost died. And you can see in verse 26, Epaphroditus is very upset by that. But not for the reason you might think. You know, all it takes is a bit of a snuffle. I'll be complaining for days. Have a look at verse 26. Epaphroditus longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Not distressed that he didn't get a bunch of get well cards. Not distressed that he didn't get breakfast in bed. Epaphroditus isn't even worried that he nearly died. He's upset that they heard about it and had to spend their time being worried about him. Fill a church with people like that, who just like Jesus shine out like stars because they count other people as more important than themselves, and you will find a united church, shining like stars. So Paul says, forget about your sporting heroes. Forget about your TV stars. Forget about your own star rating as an Uber driver or a master chef. But when Epaphroditus gets back, verse 29, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour people like him. A humility hero. Honour those who don't honour themselves, because that's what God is going to do too. Now again, let me ask you, how would a church look if we were to get serious about that? Making heroes of the humble. Is that who our stained glass windows are named for? I hope so. Ultimately, how are we going to look any different in a world of pride and aspiration? Tragedy is most times the church hasn't looked any different at all. Or so often we look worse, standing on our rights. The way it should be is we should be standing out like lights on a hill. We should sparkle like diamonds on a black velvet cloth. We should twinkle like stars in the black of the night sky. star quality because we're different. But look, there is another problem, because while maybe some are thinking this morning this whole humility thing is a bridge too far, maybe on the other hand it occurs to you that it's not really a distinctively Christian virtue at all, and that all kinds of people can perform deeds of heroic altruism, astonishing acts of courage or generosity or self-sacrifice. People donate a kidney to an absolute stranger for no reward. Now, not many donate both kidneys, but that's understandable. But others indeed do go further. June 2007, do you remember the 43-year-old solicitor Brendan Keelar shot dead in Flinders Lane trying to help a woman who was being dragged by the hair by her partner? Shot dead. Incredible courage and self-sacrifice. 2009, Luke Mitchell bashed and stabbed to death again trying to help a woman being attacked outside a nightclub. Hugely selfless heroism. And yet somehow when with courage and adrenaline we can all maybe do something heroically selfless, it does seem in a way harder in the constant day-to-day, doesn't it? Putting someone else ahead of yourself. In the small ways that hold together a marriage. In the small ways that unify a church. All those small steps in the same long direction. This is a very concrete passage, isn't it? Not hard to understand, just hard to do. Will you make yourself nothing for the sake of a fellow church member? For the sake of a fellow board member? Will you take the nature of a servant like Jesus did and be like-minded with the same love and the same spirit and the same purpose all around partnering in the gospel? Where the main thing is that Christ is preached, and not just preached, but lived out. Because if you do that, so many petty rivalries and divisions will just fade into nothing. Paul says to the Philippians, look at Timothy, he's doing it. Look at Epaphroditus as well. But most of all, when you'd rather be comfortable, when you'd rather look out for number one, when you'd rather sit back and be served, look at Jesus. Because this is what it means to be his follower in reality and not just in lip service. Not just altruism, not just being nicer, but deliberately, day by day, with the help of God's Spirit at work in us, saying today, in as many small ways as I can, my goal is to be more like Jesus. That's what it's going to look like to be a star quality Christian. Paul calls it back in our first reading on your page there, working out our salvation, or better maybe outworking our salvation. The sense of reverent awe. Because this is no small thing. To obey him in this verse 12, whether Paul's with them or not, as they continue to outwork their salvation, with fear and trembling. That is the main game. Will you notice though, not working for their salvation, not working towards their salvation, which is a fundamental difference between Christianity and an effort-based religion, but that because we have been saved, striving to live it out as God by his Spirit starts to rework our hearts, to move around and reshape our priorities, creating us hearts like Jesus. So we actually start to do this stuff by nature. Because as Paul says in verse 13, it is actually God himself who will rewire our motivation by his Spirit. He says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Will you join me now in praying that God will do that work in our will and our actions, keep moulding and modelling us into the likeness of Jesus? A long-term project, The more you get to know me, the more you'll know in me it's still got a long way to go. I expect if you're on the same journey, it's like that with you too. But with our eyes on Jesus, our hearts being shaped by the Spirit through the Word, there is every prospect of being star quality Christians even today. Because as some of us used to sing in Sunday school, Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. Please pray with me, then we're going to join in proclaiming our faith in the words of the Creed. But let's pray. Father, it so often seems like we've got so far to go in becoming more like Jesus. So often our indignation just flares up when we least expect. So often our pride speaks before our minds engage. And so we pray that you would continue to do your work in us by your Spirit, to both will, to desire, to act and do according to your word to us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and join in saying the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious.
Thank you.
Everybody sang magnificently there, but thank you to the choir for spicing it up just that little bit more and finishing our morning on a high note. Now, friends, you're welcome to join us for morning tea over in the Westpac building after the postlude. We'd love it if you would stay. Let me finish now with the benediction. And now may blessing and honour and glory and power be to our God forever and ever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.